I come here occasionally. Right. If I'm in the, I say if I'm in the neighborhood. I mean, I'm not far, right, but if I'm coming by here, and I still, I mean, I love the building itself.
Yes.
There's something very, very special about the building. Yes. And I didn't know that it's a relatively new building.
Yeah.
And that astounds me because I don't remember when this building was being built, but when I come in here, there's a richness about it, and there's a, something about it that makes me think this building has always been here, and it hasn't always been here.
Yeah, because I feel like it kind of blends in the neighborhood. Maybe that was the idea that the architect had, but I'm not sure, actually. But
and there's space in a way that, I mean, a lot of new buildings have space, but there's a sense of space and almost like quiet majesty to the building that you don't find in a lot of new buildings.
Yes.
It's not ashamed of what it is. It's it's very proudly a library.
Yeah.
And there are people that hang out here and read.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it was a place, I mean, I guess as we get older, we get busier. I'm just thinking about that. I mean, because, you know, my son is involved in sports and school and this and that.
Right.
But before he was in school, we came here not just for toddler time,
right,
but it became a destination point.
Yeah.
You know, we would take the walk through the university campus.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a kid, you know, the university buildings are kind of dreamy. You know, they're old, and there's all kinds of little nooks and crannies you can discover that are really quite magical. And so this became a destination point.
Right.
And that's a nice thing to sort of inculcate into a young
that
kid,
is.
That the library is sort of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
What was your favorite book that you read to Charlie? Do you remember? Or a favorite book in general for you?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think one of the favorite books that I read actually is a Dr. Seuss book, which is Hop on Pop, just because I loved discovering sort of the sing-song to it, the absurdity of it, and I read it so many times that it just became...
ingrained in you.
Yeah, it was like part of my marrow. I loved reading Alan Alberg. He's a British author. I loved reading his books. And there were books, and a lot of them were ones that I discovered through what Joanne was introducing us to.
Right.
And as I was walking here today, I was trying to think of names of them, and I can't for the life of me think of them. But I mean, there was one that was Australian, about a child and a grandparent that goes to the beach, and it's wonderful and it's dreamy, and Charlie loved it. And I remember in one of the illustrations, you see the child's bare bottom. And even at a young age, Charlie realized that there was something kind of scandalous about that. But it was done very, very wonderfully.
Right.
There was another one that she introduced us to. I think the author is Elsa Clavin, or Clavin, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's about a lion that paints in a cave. The lion keeps on disappearing in the story and coming back with paint on its tail. And you realize that the reason the lion keeps coming back with different colors of paint on its tail is because it's been painting this beautiful picture in a cave.
Oh, I want to check that book
which
out.
Subsequently I realize influenced the book that I wrote called The Imaginary Garden, which is probably the most well-known book that I've written.
Right.
That whole idea of the wonder of painting and the wonder of art.